Embrace the Word for Monday, June 22, 2026. Embracing Psalm 80. Psalm 80 is an appeal to the Lord for a work of renewal among the people of God. The superscription does not offer any historic details for the psalm. To the choir master, according to lilies, a testimony of Asaph, a psalm. The content of the psalm suggests that the historical situation is similar to several of the psalms in this section of the Psalter. Invading wicked nations have left Israel in ruins and the temple destroyed. It is possible that the pleas for restoration even depict the notion of exile. The phrase, according to the lilies, has been used in a singular form in some previous psalms. See Psalms 45, 60, and 69. While the phrase could just be in reference to the musical style, the psalms that use this phrase all have a common theme concerning the king. Psalm 80 shares several links with several of the immediately preceding psalms. One common theme is that God's people are his flock. 74:1, 77:20, 78:70-72, and 79:13. Psalm 80 has several common links with Psalm 79. Both psalms ask how long, 79:5, 80:4, and why, 79:10 and 80:12. Each psalm highlights the mockery that Israel experienced from the neighboring nations, 79:4, 80:6. Psalm 80 asks for restoration in response to the devastation of the temple described in Psalm 79. Since Psalm 78 stresses Israel's unfaithfulness as a precursor to the temple's destruction, Psalm 80 requests that the Lord restore his favor upon his people. Psalm 80 is structured around a nearly identical refrain in verses 3, 7, and 19, as well as a closely worded refrain in verse 14. Psalm 80 opens with a plea for the Lord to receive his petitions. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. 80:1-2. Asaph appeals to the Lord as his shepherd. The language of God as shepherd is first expressed by Jacob, see Genesis 48:15, who, of course, was renamed Israel. Describing God as a shepherd suggests not only of the Lord's care and attention for his people, but also his ability and desire to do so. The fact that God has power to attend to his flock is emphasized by the statement that that he is enthroned among the cherubim. The imagery used in this statement points to the Ark of the Covenant, which reflects the presence of the Lord as the wings of the cherubim stretched out over the lid of the Ark. Asaph asks the enthroned Lord to shine forth, that is, guide and protect his people, as Moses spoke of. The Lord came from Sinai, and drawn from Seir upon us. He shone forth from Mount Paran. He came from the tens of thousands of holy ones, with flaming fire at his right hand. Yes, he loved his people. All his holy ones were in his hand, so they followed in your steps, receiving direction from you. See Deuteronomy 33:2-3. In asking the Lord to shine forth, Asaph adds, "Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved." 80:2-3. Asaph is asking the Lord to awaken his might and rescue his people. Asaph specifically mentions Joseph, Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh as the peoples to be rescued. Interestingly, each of these names have connection to Israel, or Jacob, through Leah. Joseph and Benjamin being sons of Rachel and Israel, while Ephraim and Manasseh were sons of Joseph, who come to share in the division of the land by receiving their father's portion. One of the connections to Benjamin, whose name means son of the right hand, will be seen later in this Psalm 80, 15, and 17. The tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim broke away from the house of David and became a part of the northern kingdom, while the tribe of Benjamin was technically a part of the southern kingdom. They were consistently resistant and hostile to the Davidic king. Here Asaph's prayer is for all of Israel, essentially, those loyal to as well as disloyal to the throne of David. Asaph asks for the Lord to bring all of Israel back to himself. Restore us. Literally, Asaph is asking the Lord to cause his people to return to him. That is, repent. And as the Lord causes his people to return to him, Asaph asks that they would experience the Aaronic blessing of Numbers 6, 24 through 26. Asaph not only asks the Lord to lead his flock, Asaph asks the Lord to lead his flock back to himself. Asaph understands that the destruction and devastation that had unfolded in Jerusalem, particularly in regard to the temple, was the result of the Lord's displeasure with his people. Asaph rightly interprets the difficulties and distresses that Israel was presently experiencing as ultimately from the hand of God. O Lord, God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? 84. Asaph pleads with the Lord to not remain angry toward his people's unfaithfulness. Asaph describes the result of the Lord's displeasure. You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us an object of contention for our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. 80:5-6. Israel was extensively filled with sorrow, even as they were clearly the object of contempt. Asaph knows that he must wait on the Lord, but while he waits, he once again calls upon the Lord to bring about a restoration through repentance. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. 87. To this second refrain, Asaph adds, God of hosts, emphasizing the Lord's absolute power and authority. Asaph briefly touches on all that the Lord has done for his people at the Exodus, as well as the conquest of the promised land. You brought forth a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. 80:8-11. Likening Israel to a vine is a common metaphor that portrayed the Lord as the one who faithfully sustained his people, but also pointed to the fact that the Lord's people were completely dependent upon him for their provision as well as protection. It was prophesied that Joseph would be an expanding and fruitful vine. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a spring. His branches run over the wall. See Genesis 49:22. So this history view leads Asaph expressing his confusion. Why then have you broken down its walls so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit? The boar from the forest ravages it, and all that moves in the field feed on it. 80:12-13. The absence of the Lord's sustaining presence had left the nation ravaged and vulnerable. Asaph asks, why? not because he lacks an explanation, but because a part of his plea to the Lord is an appeal for the Lord to see with compassion the tragic state that they are in without his provision and protection. Turn again, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see. Have regard for this vine. 80:14. Verse 14 is closely connected to the refrain stated in verses 3 and 7. The term for restore or turn again is the same, but with a slightly different connotation. For the Lord to cause his people to return to him in repentance, the Lord must first graciously turn to them. Asaph is essentially asking the Lord to turn away from his anger, bring his chastisement to an end, and restore himself to his people. In asking the Lord to have regard for his vine, Asaph appeals to the Lord to renew life to the vine that has been cut down and burned. The stock that your right hand planted, for the son whom you have made strong for yourself, they have burned it with fire. They have cut it down. May they perish at the rebuke of your face. But let your hand be on the man of your right hand, the son of man, whom you have made strong for yourself. 80:15-17. The identification of Israel as his son is reminiscent of the Exodus. See Exodus 4:22-23. But also highlights the king from David's line who will restore the nation. See Psalm 2:7. Asaph's description of the vine as a stock that is cut and burned also ties in with the prophet Isaiah's language of the stump of a vine bringing forth new fruit. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. See Isaiah 11:1. This stump of Jesse would be the man of your right hand, the son of man whom you have made strong. This future type of Benjamin, as the name Benjamin means son of my right hand, will actually be from the line of David. Daniel would describe him as one who would be like a man, yet possessing the authority and power of God. See Daniel 7:13-14. What then unfolds, Asaph realizes, that the Lord's people will be brought back to repentance. Then we shall not turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call upon your name. 80:18. With fresh confidence, Asaph states his refrain one more time, but adds the Lord's personal name. Restore us, O Lord, God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. 80:19. Asaph knows that the Lord will renew his people to himself. As we reflect on Psalm 80, we can consider how God works repentance into the hearts of his people. Repentance is both a requirement, but also a gift. Receiving the saving benefits of Christ requires repentance. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. See Acts 17:30-31. No one comes into a saving relationship with Jesus apart from repentance. However, human fulfillment of the obligation of repentance requires divine enablement. God must gift to man the ability to comply with the obligation of repentance. As the apostles received reports of Gentiles turning to Christ, they replied, "When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, 'Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance, leads to life.'" See Acts 11:18. All who turn to Christ do so through a trust that involves repentance. All who repentantly turn to Christ in faith are enabled to do so by God. The obligation of repentance is made possible by God gifting to his people the ability to repent. As God gives the ability, then his people evidence that they have been granted that gift by actually repenting. Asaph prayed, "Turn again, O God of hosts." This prior action from the Lord makes doable our subsequent response to the Lord. So even the repentance required is provided. That's all for Embrace the Word for Monday, June 22, 2026. I look forward to being back with you for the Wednesday, June 24, 2026 episode of Embrace the Word as we take a look at Psalm 81.